Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I now have a pretty good clue when SEC fans have decided they think something bad has happened for Georgia. I've noticed this a little bit a couple times recently where, you know, I'm not always great about checking my Twitter mentions and kind of being on that side of Twitter, but sometimes I gravitate that way and I'll notice that some old tweets of mine are getting retweeted, and it's usually like Vol fan for life or, you know, Bull Gator or something like that, who's tweeting this kind of stuff. And so yesterday there was some of the Jamie Newman stuff that I've said in the past that was kind of getting some attention on Twitter from non-Georgia fans. They were laughing about that. Apparently I'm now a source of opposing fan tears that these non-UGA fans seek out on a day when something seemingly bad has happened for Georgia. If you've been under a rock over the last 24 hours, I will let you know that quarterback Jamie Newman has made his decision to opt out for the upcoming season. But let me say this off the top of the program, and then we will cover a lot of ground before we're done, including welcoming in former Georgia quarterback Buck Ballew today as a very special guest to evaluate the current Bulldogs quarterback situation. I can say this confidently. There is not a single thing I have ever said about Jamie Newman that I would be embarrassed for someone to play back for me on audio or video right now. You want to go back in time to anything we've said on this show? I believe anything that I've tweeted? You want to go back over the, you know, the very brief Jamie Newman era at Georgia? Every single thing that we've said about Jamie Newman, I feel like I can stand behind. If it was replayed for me in front of you right now, I don't think I'd be ashamed of any of it. I never touted Jamie Newman as a potential Heisman Trophy winner. Never said he was a lock to be a first-round pick. I simply said that he had the requisite skill set to probably be good for Georgia, and good may be good enough. The other thing that we have been saying over and over again, and this is really the place I want to make sure we begin today, that ultimately the job of resurrecting the Georgia offense, and this is an offense that was not good last year, it certainly wasn't good enough to win a national championship. It was the anchor that held the Georgia program back. But what we said throughout the entirety of this offseason was that the responsibility for transforming this offense did not rest with Jamie Newman, nor did it rest with any individual player. It's not the job of Jamie Newman, or it never was the job of Jamie Newman, to step onto this campus and be Georgia's offensive savior. That job has always rested with offensive coordinator Todd Monken. The job of making the Georgia offense what it needs to be is the responsibility of the coaches, not the responsibility of the players. Newman was good enough, I believe, to help get Georgia where it needed to go. But it was always going to be the offense that Todd Monken built around Jamie Newman that made that possible. Now that Newman's gone, you more fully turn your attention to JT Daniels. We'll have more on him coming up in a moment. Daniels, much the same way, is probably good enough to potentially get Georgia where it wants to go, but that's only if the offense built around who I now presume will be the starter, JT Daniels, functions the way that it's supposed to. LSU a year ago is the perfect example of this. And yes, I have said this over and over again until I'm blue in the face, but I have never seen a more stark example of this in my life in college football. Almost all the same players at LSU in 2018, with one set of coaches, Steve Ensminger, without any help as offensive coordinator. Same group comes back in 2019. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes for 1,400 yards rushing. Joe Burrow becomes the number one overall pick. Jamar Chase becomes the Biletnikoff Award winner, all because they were playing in an offense that had been supplied to them by passing game coordinator Joe Brady, who's now the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. I'm not saying that I expect Todd Monken to have as big an impact at Georgia, but when it comes to making the impact, the responsibility exists for the offensive coordinator to make that happen. If you want to go back and look at the, you know, the not-so-great moments for JT Daniels in a USC uniform, and there were some of those, I think a lot of that can be pointed to the fact that the offense that Daniels was given to run with the Trojans was probably pretty dysfunctional. You know, Graham Harrell, who would come in 2019, you know, JT Daniels never had a chance to work with him. That's what, Clayton Slovis, that's what he got a chance to have benefit from. Now the conventional wisdom is that Slovis was going to be the starter at USC, whether Daniels had stayed there or not. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but it's always seemed like somewhat of an unfair comparison for me because Slovis worked in an offense that just functioned better. And the same thing is kind of true for Georgia. The offense last season at Georgia was dysfunctional. It's why James Coley's coaching tight ends or whatever it is that he's coaching now. He was not, you know, welcome as an offensive coordinator, I believe, here or really anywhere else at the high level of college football. He was given a chance last season, and he failed. Georgia had to rebuild the offense. Obviously, you know, it needed more quarterbacks. That's why Newman was here. That's why JT Daniels was brought in there as well. But the responsibility for building the offense has always rested with Monken. We said that over and over again during the offseason. Even we presumed that Jamie Newman was going to be the starting quarterback. So that aspect of this story has not changed. The starting quarterback that I assume was going to be the case for Georgia, apparently that won't be the case. Newman's not going to play this year. But the job of making the Georgia offense what it needs to be, that was always Monken to begin with, and none of that is different. Now, let me kind of move on here and talk a little bit more about the guy who now takes even more center stage in the absence of all of this. That's JT Daniels. Exactly who is he, and what is his situation right now for Georgia? As I said before, this is a guy coming off injury that kept him off the field for most of the 2019 season. Apparently, that injury still lingers with him a bit. He did scrimmage on Saturday, but as Kirby Smart said, don't take that to mean that if there were a game today, he'd be capable of playing in it. This is Smart going back to last weekend. Let me let you hear this.
You know, JT is not cleared still. I know y'all think he's cleared, or what you think of as cleared, but cleared to me is I can go out and play a full game of tackle football. So, yeah, he gets to scrimmage, but he doesn't. He wouldn't be cleared for a game in terms of contact yet. So that, you know, that factors in the decision. Then also the other guys, what they can do with their feet. You know, that's sometimes a tough measurement at quarterback unless you go live with those guys. So we haven't had anybody separate yet.
Obviously, the notion that no one had separated this quarterback battle is something that people are circling back on right now. I'll have more on those thoughts coming up a little bit later on in the show. But also the idea that Daniels now presumably in place to be the starter isn't even fully cleared to play. I honestly don't even know how much I'd even really make of that right now. I think a lot of this kind of stuff comes down to semantic differences sometimes. Words have a tendency to mean whatever coaches want them to mean in any given moment. Kirby says, y'all think he's cleared to play because there had been some reports that he was. But Smart says he's not cleared to be tackled in the game. The reason why I would downplay Smart's assertion there on that is he has apparently had enough room at practice, given the level of clearance he does have, to show off the athleticism that's in place for him. The reason why we know that is because of something that Todd Monken said about Daniels really not all that long ago. So maybe not cleared to be tackled to the ground yet in a full tackle football game, but still, I guess, if you want to say it this way, cleared enough that he's been able to show off some of his athleticism during Georgia practice. We know that's true because of what Monken has said. Here is Monken on that.
The one thing I would say about Jamie is that he is a better thrower. Everybody talked about his athleticism, but he's a better thrower than people think, and I think JT's a better athlete. So, you know, obviously there's film on both of those guys. Obviously, JT is a young player at USC throwing the football, and there's film of Jamie obviously running Wake Forest's offense very efficiently. And like I said, I think from the first 5 days, I think JT's a better athlete than we would have thought. And Jamie's a much better thrower.
So listen, Smart says Daniel's not cleared for full contact yet, but he's at least cleared enough that he's been able to show off his athleticism to Todd Monken. Let me kind of wrap this portion of the conversation up by saying this. Yes, I had touted Jamie Newman to be the starting quarterback. And yes, I still believe if Newman would have stayed, he was going to be the starting quarterback, at least at the beginning of the season. I haven't heard anything that fully convinces me to change my mind of that. But I've always said that I thought that Daniels was a capable quarterback too, and I still think that as well. If Todd Monken builds an offense that works, I think Daniels is the kind of quarterback, if he truly is healthy, that can work in it pretty well. I don't think that Georgia's overall trajectory changes all that much, although some people think that it probably does. I think this is still a team that can get to where it wants to go, but the answer of how that happens has not changed at all through this entire process. It's simply about building an offense that's better than the abysmal performance of a year ago. That responsibility has always rested with Monken, and that doesn't change no matter who the starting quarterback is. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and great to have you with us no matter how you get to us today, live on video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just great to have all of you with us today. I'll make a corny joke and say it's kind of nice to be having Merriweather and Tharp on the show today, in a day in which we're talking about a divorce now between Newman and UGA. But obviously, Merriweather and Tharp is your source for Georgia divorce. They are the ones that you can trust. When you have questions about the divorce process, they have answers for you. They've been through this thousands of times. That institutional expertise that you build and develop over the course of that time is really, really important. They can put that to work for you. The divorce process can be scary and confusing, especially if you haven't been through this before. And for many of you, this is the first time that you're going through this. So put your faith and trust in Merriweather and Tharp. They can be the advocate, strong advocate on your side, because they know what this process is like. They can guide you through it. They can make you whole again, rebuild your financial situation, your relationship with your children, all the things that are, you know, potentially scary, you know, offshoots of a conversation like this. Merriweather and Tharp can take good care of you all the way around on all of that. They are good friends of ours, great supporters of us here at Dog Nation, and a good friend to so many of the folks in our audience who find themselves in a tough spot. A good friend on your side makes a tough spot a little bit easier. So your source for Georgia divorce is Merriweather and Tharp. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, as I mentioned before, we've got a good guest coming up on today's show. It's Buck Ballew, the former Georgia quarterback, longtime Atlanta radio host. In fact, he's celebrating 20 years on the air in Atlanta. We'll congratulate him for that, but he's going to tell us more about what he thinks about Jamie Newman leaving, JT Daniels now maybe stepping up. What about Dwan Mathis? What about Carson Beck? We'll cover all of that ground here on our program here today. Before that, though, let's talk a little bit more about what it is that kind of has led Jamie Newman to make this decision. And I'll mention him in his own words here for a moment. When he put out his own statement on Twitter yesterday, one of the things that he cited was the uncertainty that's, you know, kind of related to a global pandemic. And obviously, you do want to take that part of this seriously. We have said the entire time that when it comes to, you know, players and their decision to play or not, that we were going to respect anyone's decision who decided playing football was not for them. Admittedly, the timing of this is a little bit weird. We can show the Newman statement on the screen if you want to. Admittedly, the timing of this is a little bit weird, and it does cause me to raise an eyebrow. The fact that, you know, he had seemingly been all in on this throughout the entire process, and only now has he decided that that he doesn't want to play football. If it truly is related to the pandemic, as he mentions, then more power to him. If it's because he thinks his draft slot is already solidified, I think he may be sadly mistaken when he gets to this upcoming spring on that. That's just the honest truth as far as I'm concerned. I also think it's probably not true that Newman had found out that he was not going to be the starter at Georgia. I think there's a convenient logic that kind of pops up sometimes. It's sort of like the same thing when a recruit decides he'd rather be somewhere else than Georgia. There will always be people that pop up and say, well, that's okay. Georgia didn't want him anyway. They were just processing him out of the recruiting class. There will always be people to say that. When a guy like Newman decides to opt out, there will always be people who step up, try to fill the void of Georgia fans who may be worried and say, well, that's okay. He was going to be the starter anyway. I simply don't believe that to be the case. The other thing that's going to come up here is, well, maybe he was going to be the starter at the beginning of the year, but he was still worried about that competition that exists between he and Daniels. And who knows? Maybe that is true. I can't put myself in the head of Newman or anybody else. But here's the one thing I will point out. And by the way, we'll show you what Kirby Smart said about this too. Kind of a classy line from Kirby Smart, you know, basically wishing Jamie Newman well. We'll show that on the screen here. Basically wishing Jamie Newman well and, you know, saying he fully supports the decision. Smart kind of takes the high road all the way around on all of this. But as far as the notion of a competition, and was Jamie Newman kind of scared off by the competition that was potentially in place? And that's enough of the Smart clip. Thank you. You know, was he scared off by the competition that was potentially in place there? Here's all I can say. When you look at the way that Georgia quarterback competitions have played out in recent years, in some cases, those competitions would give you just a little bit of reason to be nervous. I mean, think about how these things have played out recently. Go back to the 2016 season, at least for the very first snap of the very first game, this, you know, vaunted Kirby Smart quarterback competition initially pegged Grayson Lambert over Jacob Eason as the starting quarterback, even though Eason was clearly the better of the two quarterbacks. Then in 2017, this same Kirby Smart quarterback competition that supposedly is so, you know, valuable and important for this program tabbed Eason over Jake Fromm, even though the moment Jake Fromm stepped in after Eason's injury, he proved himself to be a much better quarterback as a freshman than Eason had been the previous season. It's almost like, at least when it comes to beginning of the season starters, the Georgia quarterback competition got it wrong 2 years in a row, which leads you to 2018, and obviously it's controversial, but can anyone say that Jake Fromm is a better player than Justin Fields? Yet in 2018, somehow this quarterback competition at Georgia tabbed Fromm over Fields as the starting quarterback. Once again, in hindsight, it sort of seems like that Georgia quarterback competition just kind of got this wrong. Listen, I'm a golf fan, and for golf fans who like talking about golf courses and things like that, U.S. Open courses, one of the things that gets said a lot is that you judge the quality of a course by the winner it produces. That you know certain courses are great because when you look at the list of winners when major events have been held there, you see a list of some of the top players in the sport. Well, if that's true for golf in the U.S. Open, then what would you say about the quality of the Georgia quarterback competition in recent years based on the winners that those competitions have produced? If Newman was nervous about the status of this competition, I think it's at least fair to wonder, is part of this based on what he has seen happen in the past with some of the competitions and how they've gone down and the winners those competitions produce? The other thing I'll say, just very quickly before we wrap this part of the conversation up, is that, you know, the one thing that no one also seems to be acknowledging right now on the basis of this quarterback competition is the fact that sometimes pretending like there's no separation between quarterbacks or, you know, saying that kind of thing over and over again is also, and it's not just at a place like Georgia, this is true all across college football, this is just the mechanism that coaches seem to use a lot, they have at their disposal, is to pretend there's no separation whatsoever between quarterbacks because you're trying to keep other quarterbacks from transferring out of the program, or in Newman's case, maybe keeping him from opting out of the program. And so the tight-lipped nature of the, you know, intense, close competition, sometimes that is true for coaches. Sometimes it's also just a way to kind of keep people in the fold and keep them from looking elsewhere around the program. One way or another, Newman is gone. Georgia's still fairly well-stocked at the quarterback position without him and a lot of curiosity about what happens next. We'll talk more about this to Buck Ballew in just a moment. Before that, though, let me welcome in our friends at Classic City Lager to the Dog Nation family and here on Dog Nation Daily. You know, Classic City Lager is just good cold beer. It's available in 6 and 12-pack cans. This is one of my favorite beers to enjoy, whether I'm, you know, getting together on game day or, you know, hanging out, doing all kinds of fun stuff. It's just it's an Athens original. It's a great, great beer choice for you. It's a very easy drinking, crisp, kind of a lighter tasting beer. It's really good stuff. Classic City Lager is also the proud partner of Dog Nation's Home Cating channel, which you're going to hear a lot more about over the course of the season. So when it's game day this year, whether you're, you know, watching games at home, getting together with friends, maybe lucky enough to be on your way to Athens and, you know, hanging out somewhere, tailgating before the game begins, the best way to enjoy the game day experience is with our friends at Classic City Lager. You can find out more about them by checking out this hashtag. It's hashtag good cold beer. You can check that out. And of course, Classic City Lager is available year round throughout the state of Georgia. So pick up your 6 or 12-pack cans at your local retailer today. All right, busy edition of our program here today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. More on what is being said about Newman's departure later on in the program. For now, though, let's find out what a former Georgia quarterback thinks about the current Georgia quarterbacking situation. Let's get ready to talk to the national championship-winning signal caller of the Dogs. Let's talk to Buck Ballew. And on a day in which Buck Ballew celebrates 20 years on the air as Atlanta radio host, an amazing accomplishment. A lot of times the media world is certainly not a long-term proposition, but it has been for Buck because of the professionalism that he's shown for such a long time. And we're lucky enough to get to share in some of that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. So let's welcome him in right now. Buck, first of all, congratulations on the 20 years, and thanks for spending some time on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. How you doing today?
Doing well, B.A. Always glad to be with you, and thanks for the shout-out there with the 20 years. You know, day one, when they hired us, I asked the boss, David Dickey, I said, what would be a good run? And he said, well, 5 years would be a good run. So just feeling really lucky today, very fortunate. It's been a dream job situation for me. I got this job and never pursued another one.
Well, that's certainly great to know, and I would imagine your job made easier on days like this when there's big news out there. We find out yesterday that quarterback Jamie Newman deciding to opt out for the season, mentioning the confusion around the global pandemic as part of that. Some people have speculated that there's more than just the virus on his mind. What do you make of the fact that Newman has decided he doesn't want to be at Georgia anymore?
Well, you know, my first reaction was just picking up the phone, calling DJ Shockley to see if he had any eligibility left. But, you know, and I did have somebody on social media saying, Ballou, they might need you to take some snaps. And I was thinking, are you kidding me? It'd be tough to get out of the way these days. But, yeah, it was surprising. You know, the thing that's most curious to me is that you would put in all this work, and then when the payoff was coming up, you elected to bow out. So, you know, the time and energy and work and commitment that you have to put in to play at a high level, quarterback in the Power Five, and be successful is, you know, just the ultimate commitment you've got to make. And it just seems strange you would, you know, bow out here 3 weeks before the start of the season. But, you know, in these crazy times with this COVID-19, I'm trying to take people at their word, try not to be judgmental and things like that. To see the opt-outs going on all over college football right now, and if the young man's not comfortable, then I can certainly understand that.
Well, I think it's good advice to take him at his word on that. I think that's certainly fair to say. There's also been some speculation out there of, well, maybe he was influenced by someone to do this. We don't know that. It's as I said before, it's total speculation to even bring that up, but Buck, if we did find out that was true, that someone got into his ear and said, oh, Jamie, you don't need to play college football this year. Who knows what's going to happen at Georgia? You need to come. You know, let's say it was an NFL agent who says, you need to come sign with me and we'll get you ready for the NFL draft. You know, if that were the case, if we ever found out that was true, I would certainly be fearful that Newman maybe gotten some bad advice from someone who benefits from Newman's decision without being sure that it actually benefits Newman.
Well, you know, for me, it just seems, you know, from the very beginning, he was totally focused on what he could do to make himself a better NFL prospect at the quarterback spot. I mean, even in the beginning, moving from Wake Forest to Georgia, part of the reasoning was to be able to become a better passer in the system Georgia was going to run. It seems like everything was about him getting to the NFL. And, you know, maybe it's me just being old school, but it didn't seem to be very much about the team. And the team went in big, and that's what everybody's trying to be focused on right now. But, you know, if I had to be critical from the outside looking in, that would be the criticism I would have.
How about JT Daniels? How good do you think, if we assume that he may has even a better chance now to become the Georgia starter, how good do you think Daniels can be for UGA?
You know, I actually believe just watching what he did as a freshman starting that whole year at USC, watching him run that offense there, which seems to be pretty similar. Really proficient running the RPO system, which is, I think, we're going to see a lot of. You know, a guy that is a really good passer, a better passer than Jamie Newman, I believe, overall. A lot of this air raid stuff is short to intermediate, high percentage stuff, and I think JT Daniels looked like a guy that, you know, was better doing that than, say, a Jamie Newman. And, you know, I just think he's a better fit with what Monken wants to do. I look at where Monken's been and the things they've accomplished offensively. I don't recall there being more than one guy that was considered a dual-threat running quarterback like Newman. So I was wondering how that fit would shake out anyway. And looking at what Daniels does, I think he is a better fit for what Monken wants to do.
One of the things I talked about before you joined us was the role that Monken plays in all of this. You know, Buck, I have, you know, been honest that I don't think the Georgia offense functioned very well last year, and I think some of that is laid at the feet of James Coley. I think that Munkin's got a big job in trying to upgrade this offense. Now getting a chance to work with Daniels, how important do you think the job of Monken is this year to make Georgia more explosive? Or, as you mentioned, maybe it's a little bit more the air raid stuff and it's a little more up-tempo, or just finding some way to make the passing game more potent. How important do you view the job of Monken to be this year in all of this?
Well, I would imagine that he and Kirby had a heart-to-heart prior to him taking the job about, you know, the control he's going to have doing what he feels like is best for the offense. And obviously Kirby, played along with that a little bit. And so thus Monken is doing what he's doing right now. And you know, I'm hoping we're going to see him spread it out and go 10 personnel a little bit more and throw it. That's how you get the playmakers the ball in space, is spread the field with three and four wide receivers. You know, the 10 personnel group, the 11 personnel group, maybe you take a tight end with McKitty and, you know, the fabulous freshman, Big Zero. You flex them out a little bit and they become an inside receiver. But I'm just really anxious to see. I don't think the run game's going totally away. And when you talk to these air raid gurus, they will tell you, well, look, the run game, man, that's the short passing game. That's what the run game is in this air raid. So I'm really curious to see how we're going to go about running it, what the plan is running Zamir White up in there. You know, it seems to be sort of a hodgepodge thing across the country when you look at the air raid outside of that zone read that you see so much. So I'm anxious to see how it all comes together. We hadn't had a chance to get in and see it any, but
yeah,
you know, as you watch the air raids around the country, it's more about throwing that ball short to intermediate, high percentage, and, you know, that becomes your running game for the most part. I don't buy for a second we're going to turn the back on the run.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Let me squeeze in a couple before we let you go. I've talked about Dwan Mathis. I think he's one of the more popular players in the Georgia roster because of what he's overcome to even be back on the football field again. You know, based on what you've seen from Mathis, whether it be in a G-Day or, you know, maybe even what you've heard from others, how good do you potentially think a guy like Mathis could be if called on to play some significant snaps this season?
Well, I'm sure he's been really impressive in the 7-on-7s that they've done a lot of in recent months. You know, I wonder, with the lack of experience, you know, what it's going to look like when you go 11-on-11. I think he's a guy growing, developing, but, you know, if you're looking for a guy to stand in that pocket and get that ball downfield, maybe flush and run a little bit, you know, I think he's a prospect there. You got the kid from Jacksonville, Beck, who I'm really impressed with. Student of the game, physically, he has everything that you need to be successful. Seems really into it and dedicated. I think he's got a shot, but as a freshman, to try to master all you need to master to win big, and that's what George is trying to do, is probably a stretch to think that, you know, he can come in immediately and be the QB. Jake Fromm spoiled us a little bit with that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Buck, we appreciate your time on our show today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. When it comes to your own show, remind folks how they can catch you on the radio, celebrate 20 years with you, and enjoy 20 more of talking things like Georgia football on the airwaves in Atlanta.
Well, yeah, we've got the Fan app. You can get, obviously, crystal clear anytime, anywhere. Then streaming online at 680thefan.com, AM 680, 93.7 on that FM dial. Thanks, B.A.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So really good stuff from Buck Ballew. We're lucky to have Buck on the show. He's a good guy talking Georgia football. Happy to do that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp here today. We'll have more on the Jamie Newman situation here coming up in just a moment. Before that, let me make an announcement, something I'm really, really excited about. We're heading towards the start of the season, so a lot of our scenarios are kind of getting into play. Some of you have asked about this. I want to let you know that Dog Nation is proud to partner with the UGA Bookstore. Once again, we're going to be back at the UGA Bookstore for the fifth consecutive year for our Dog Nation postgame show. I can't wait for that. In fact, I've even got on a shirt today, if you're watching on video, that I got from the UGA Bookstore. So we're really happy about this. It's kind of our home away from home during the season in Athens. We're always up there on the second floor at the UGA Bookstore. Many of you kind of show up down there after the games are over. You're shopping for the apparel, much like I'm wearing right now. And there's no, listen, great selection of the UGA Bookstore. You can find it all. I think I'm wearing Peter Millar today, 47 brand, Tommy Bahama, Vineyard Vines, Nike, Cutter and Buck, all those great brands that make the UGA stuff. UGA Bookstore's got it all, so they're always there for you. They're also open 24/7 online at ugabookstore.com. So check them out in person at the UGA Bookstore or online, ugabookstore.com, and you can get geared up and ready to go for the upcoming season. We'll see you at the UGA Bookstore after games later on this fall. All right, a little bit of a recruiting news to get to, and then we'll get back to the quarterback stuff involving Georgia Tyrone Ingram Dawkins. Good-looking defensive lineman for the 2021 class has dropped his final four, and you see Georgia in there along with the Tennessee Vols, who've become a little bit of a factor in the 2021 class, North Carolina, who has been a factor for a lot of big names right now, Gamecocks kind of in there as well. You know, Georgia lost out on a defensive lineman last week when Tim Keenan chose Alabama. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, or TID, as many folks kind of call him on the recruiting trail. He has been a guy that has kind of grown with some of his attention with UGA for a while. Seems like this relationship may be pretty good between Ingram Dawkins and Georgia. We'll find out more with that when Jeff Sintel joins us on Friday here on our program. But for now, TID has a Final Four, UGA included, along with the Tar Heels, Gamecocks, and the Tennessee Vols. Well, that was really interesting yesterday to see Florida quarterbacks coach Brian Johnson talking about the work that Kyle Trask has done over the course of the offseason. You hear a lot of this time of year, but it's a best shape of his life. You know, he's ready to go for the upcoming season. You know, he's just ready to, you know, to be out there and just going to have a great year. And maybe that's true. I think that if Florida fans are some of the ones stirring the pot right now on what happened with Jamie Newman leaving yesterday, and that makes them feel even better about their situation this upcoming season, I think they could potentially find out pretty quick that maybe the world isn't working out quite as well as they hoped it would. Maybe things aren't going to fall into place for them quite as easily as they think they probably should be. I mean, I thought that Jamie Newman had the potential of being a better quarterback than Kyle Trask. I'm not going to change my opinion now that it's Newman gone and probably JT Daniels in place. The quarterback situation at Georgia is far from secure. The offensive questions at Georgia, many of them remain unanswered. But in terms of the possibility, in terms of the potential, the starting quarterback at Georgia still being better than Trask at Florida, no matter how good a shape Johnson, the quarterback's coach, says that he might be, that is still quite possible all the way around here. I am not that worried about that at all. The bar set by Kyle Trask in a Gators uniform is not some insurmountable hurdle to be overcome. Far from that. So if Florida fans are having fun at Georgia fans' expense today, I would say there is still a great chance that UGA gets the last laugh on all of that. I have mentioned to you briefly before that one of the things that's been really confusing with me is trying to keep up with the schedule. Normally September is, you know, a month in which we're already knee-deep in football. Not quite the same way this year. We just had our first game of the season last week, and you know, now we're kind of moving into a little bit heavier schedule this week with more games to come, and finally the SEC getting rocking rolling later on this month. I will say tonight we have our first two FBS games of the season. And I guess the biggest of these games, at least in terms of the news that's been made this week, is the fact that Central Arkansas, that played Austin Peay last week, plays UAB tonight. And in testing this week, in the after having played the game against Austin Peay last week, Central Arkansas has had no positive tests here this week. So for those people who are always kind of looking for that good news, that evidence that maybe we're going to get back to football and everything be okay here, at least a brief glimmer of good news in the fact that Central Arkansas, after having played last week and now turning around playing very quickly on a Thursday night here right now, that's a challenge in and of itself. Short week, testing, no one tests positive, and so now they will get going against the Blazers of UAB later on tonight. There are four games in total. Another one of those games involves FBS foes. I think Houston plays. Is it Houston Rice, I think, plays tonight? That's the other FBS-level game, at least Houston Rice are. So four games in total tonight. A little bit bigger crop on Saturday. Navy-BYU, I believe, is the marquee game this weekend, if you want to use that phrase around all of this. And we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, want to get ready for our Kroger Fresh Take. As you know, Kroger's fresh for everyone, and they present a fresh take to you each and every day or each and every week here on our program. And I want to circle back on just the notion of what this means for Georgia now that Jamie Newman's not here anymore. I saw some comments in our Facebook comment section a moment ago from people who are saying they're tired of the fact that all of this resurrects the Justin Fields narrative around Georgia. And, you know, unfortunately for the people who are tired of that, a situation like this proves it's just not going away. Fields was in the stands on Saturday for the scrimmage, and unfortunately his presence in the stands probably overshadowed the quarterbacks who were on the field. That's not necessarily a great thing for Georgia, but it's just kind of where things are right now. There was even all kinds of weird internet chatter last night on the basis of some of the stuff that you may have seen on Twitter. In fact, I'll show you one of these Twitter messages here. Dog Out West on Twitter pointing out the fact that Justin Skyler Fields' name was still listed in the student database, the University of Georgia. I guess it was never just scrubbed out of there. There are apparently a lot of former Georgia players whose names are still in the student database, despite the fact they're no longer students. But the Twitter chatter that erupts around something like that, the buzz created by, you know, Fields' presence when he's at the scrimmage on Saturday, just shows you that he still casts a shadow over Georgia that still exists right now. And you may not like it, but you can't pretend that it isn't true. And that probably does put more pressure on Georgia to make sure that it's got its ducks in the row with the quarterback it plays this upcoming season. In fact, there are people, even folks who love Georgia and are proud of Georgia as their alma mater, who are now kind of concerned about how good Georgia's going to be now that Jamie Newman's no longer here. I'll show you what David Pollack said about this on Twitter. Pollack yesterday saying that with Jamie Newman as Georgia's quarterback, and we'd certainly heard plenty from Pollack in terms of how much he liked Newman, he says, with Newman as the Georgia quarterback, I was going to pick them to win the Natty. Now, he says, it's back to Bama and Clemson. Now, that doesn't mean that JT Daniels can't also be a very good quarterback for Georgia, but it gives you an idea, someone in Pollack who really thought Newman was going to be the guy for Georgia, to say nothing of former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray, who was also on Twitter sharing a similar opinion, saying that Jamie Newman looks like he's going to opt out. That's sad. I was looking forward to seeing him run Todd Mungin's offense. Would have been a perfect fit, Aaron Murray said. So that's kind of what's out there right now. Some folks just wishing that Justin Fields would come back to Georgia and save the day. Some folks feeling like Georgia now won't be as good with Jamie Newman not at quarterback, now maybe less of a national championship contender. And some folks like Aaron Murray saying, I just wanted to see how Newman would have done in an offense like this. As I said before, that is not evidence that Georgia is now doomed to fail this upcoming season. But it is evidence of something that should be obvious. There is now more pressure on Smart as the guy that oversees this program, Todd Monken, the guy tasked with resurrecting the offense, and the quarterbacks who remain with Jamie Newman gone, to just be better than this unit was a year before. When you were as good as Georgia was defensively last year, when you have the overall level of talent that Georgia has, it's almost impossible to be as mediocre offensively as Georgia was. It is the reason that Georgia was, you know, not as much of a national championship contender as it possibly could have been. Even in a year in which LSU may have been historically good, Georgia was inexcusably bad too often on the offensive side of the ball. So with all of the attention that Newman got during the offseason, and now all the attention that his departure is also going to get, there probably is an extra layer of pressure that exists on UGA. But the good news is, whether it's the coaches who agree to coach here, the players who show up to play here, they know what the deal is before they get involved. They knew what they were signing up for when they signed up. The pressure to perform is never going to go away. It may just be slightly more intense this year, but I can't wait to see how the Georgia coaches and players step up to that challenge. That's our Kroger Fresh Take. It's brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And of course, we're heading towards a long weekend, Labor Day weekend coming up. That means lots of grilling time, and Kroger's got you covered on all of that. You can do your Labor Day cookout for less, save on charcoal and chips and snacks and even baby back ribs. Of course, don't forget the dessert. Get everything you need for s'mores and everything else with our friends at your local Kroger as we head towards the Labor Day weekend coming up this weekend. I'll also give you a programming note. Normally, we don't take Labor Day off because it's typically the Monday after the first game for Georgia. This particular week, we are going to be gone on Monday, so apologies in advance for that. And then back on Tuesday in our normal time, getting ready for the upcoming season and talk more about Daniels and Mathis and Carson Beck and everything else. So we'll be off on Monday, still here tomorrow, and then rolling ahead towards the start of the season, beginning again on Tuesday. So quick update on all of that. Let me also give you Gator Hater Updater. As I said before, Florida fans may think Newman's departure is good news, reason to laugh at Georgia, reason to go back and find some of my old tweets and retweet them. But it's been a long time since Florida's had anything to laugh about when it comes to Georgia. 1,405 days. That's how long since those lousy, stinking Gators beat the Georgia Bulldogs. And JT Daniels may be the guy to add to that list. And that long group of numbers coming up later on this fall. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.